responsibility and a charge from God to use our gifts. Well, a lot of the time people think, well, okay, well, I'm gifted in, I can do, and, they'll think of something that they can do. And that's right, that is part of our gifting. But I was speaking with Micah after the sermon last week, and as she said, the problem is so often when you tell people about using their gifts for the furtherance of the church, they think, well, I'm gifted in playing the guitar, I'm gifted in painting, or I'm gifted in electrics or something like that. They gravitate towards natural things rather than something that's supernatural, or what the Bible describes as part of the gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in other words. So what I wanted to touch on for us all to be clear is this: the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. And in the New Testament, we have three main places where it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit will work out in our lives, possibly through our talents, but perhaps not through our talents. Sometimes it's despite our talents in the natural. Sometimes it's because of our talents. The Lord would use each one of us as there's a need, as we're available. And I like what you said, Maureen, at the end there. You know, be available for God to use you. Because not only do I want us to receive from God today, I want us then to be giving to other people. Because I know that we're gifted. God has placed gifts in you. And he's not placed them in you for your own purpose, for your own, needs solely. They can be used for our own needs. But in the main, God's gifts are placed in us that we would spend them on other people, that we would grow the kingdom as vessels of honor fit for his works. In fact, God says in Ephesians 2 that he put good works in us, that we would walk in those good works. So he's calling us to that. So let's look then at these scriptures that describe the gifts, the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. Come with me, first of all, to Romans 12. Romans 12, and we'll read from verse 6 here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and in chapter 5 of Romans, it talks about receiving an abundance of grace. Romans 5:17, remember that? Receiving an abundance of grace. Those people who will reign in life, they receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. But here it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, let us use them. Now, watch this. These are tremendous testimonies. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited. When I hear testimonies like this, I get so excited. It just stirs me up. I get so thrilled and excited because I love to see God in action. And what I find is the reality of God in us manifests in power, in ways that are different, in not natural ways. You know, we believe as a network, the church, as a network, we're involved in good works. You know, we're involved in feeding the poor. We are involved in doing all sorts of things with the poor and the people who haven't got much. We do quite a lot in that. As a network, the Ticking Network I'm speaking of, there's a lot that we're doing. And we've done that throughout the COVID crisis in different countries, in different churches around this area. But here's the thing. None of that should be the first thing that we do. All of those things are a byproduct of the spiritual stuff that's going on inside of us. And the trouble is with many mainline denominations is that that's all they have is charitable works. But the gospel isn't charitable works. In fact, Jesus says you'll always have the poor among you. You'll always have the poor among you. The gospel isn't providing food to the poor. The gospel is that Jesus Christ went, he died for our sins on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and now we can live free in him. That's the summary of the gospel. But as a result of being free from him, I want to meet other people's needs. I really want to help people, and the gifts that God has given me, I want to pour out. I want to reach people. I want to give them food. I want to give them water. I want to give them medicine. I want to help people. But that's the order. It's the gospel first. And as a result of that, these other things pour out of my life. So where it says here, given to us, let us use them. Let's use them. I got excited. When the first testimony that you gave there, you said to that woman, she's in, just think of it. She's there, she's in a booth, giving fortune telling and stuff. And it's so specific with God. God says things so specific. You know, your toe. Your toe. Your toe. I mean, it's a brilliant thing, isn't it? I've actually got down in my notes for the sermon today, as I was preparing, the one illustration I had was along those lines. It was about when I was in London, and I was living in London, and I was living in Ealing, and at this time in Ealing, there were problems late at night with the tube stations. So late at night in the tube stations, there'd been some murders, and there'd been real violence at night, and we were warned there were gangs at the tube station, so you weren't meant to go late at night, go very careful on the tube. Well, I was coming back one time on the last tube, and I was getting off at Ealing Common, and it was the last tube, and I was in the last carriage of the tube at the time when these murders were taking place, and these things were happening. And so I was a bit nervous as the train pulled into the station. I got a bit nervous. And as I stepped out of the train carriage, there was a group of young men there. And they said some very nasty things about me, which I thought was fairly presumptuous, being as I'd never met them before. So they said some very nasty things to me, and they were a gang, and I quickly then started to walk away, and I was listening to see if they were following me. So I walk up the train platform, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, thank you, Father God, thank you, Lord, that you keep me safe. Thank you, Father God, you keep me safe. And I'm listening, and I can't hear any footsteps, but I'm thinking they're wearing trainers, I'm sure, so they could be light. I may not be, but I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to turn around. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for protecting me, Lord. Thank you, you're protecting me. Yes, I thank you for your protection, Father God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can picture what I was feeling. I get out, I walk up the stairs, I go out past the ticket office, and I put my ticket down, and I didn't hear anyone. And then I could look around. There was no one there. Oh, the relief. And then I walk out on the street, and I see all the cars, and there's people, and, you know, so I'm safe. And I'm walking down the street, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm just happy. And the Lord speaks to me, and guess what he says? Go back. He says, go back. I said, no, Lord, no, no, I'll resist that. That thought, no, don't. He says, go back and speak to them. I want to speak to them, he said. Well, it was so strong, the voice of the Lord was so strong, I had to do it. So I turn around, I go back, I walk down the stairs. They're down the end of the platform still. I mean, let me tell you, when I came out of the tube, I didn't go into too much detail, they smashed a bottle against the wall. So that as I stepped out, boom, I hear the bottle go against the wall. I mean, that was a bottle to, they weren't playing games. These people were ready to, you know, it was a smashed bottle, bang, against the wall. So I knew that they were up to no good. And that was the station where the murder had taken place. So this was a very, you know, it wasn't just a light thing for me. I knew I was going into a difficult situation potentially, but clearly the Lord had spoken to me. So I turn around, I walk down, and they see me. And I come walking down the thing to them. And there's about five of them. And they're all looking amazed. They're looking shocked. And I went up to one of them. I didn't know what I was going to say. But it's true what the Lord says. When the Lord wants you to say something, he will fill your mouth. Yeah. He'll give you the words. I didn't know what I was going to say. I walked up to them, and then my mouth was full. I said, you play the keyboards. You play the keyboards. I said, and you're dreaming of being a musician. I said, that's your dream. I said, it's to be a musician. I said, God is speaking to you. Your mother has been praying for you, and your mother has been praying for you that you'd come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I said, and you're playing the keyboards there. And I said, and your heart is different to what it is with this group here. I said, don't be a fool. Now, you can't talk specifics like that unless God gives them to you. I mean, it's got to be God. You can't tell her that her toe's bad unless it's God. It's got to be God. And what we're looking at this morning, you see, when we're reading the scriptures this morning, it's not just theory. This must be the reality of God in our lives. God is saying to us, listen, my people, my church, live in the reality of New Testament truth. Stop reading it like it's a good little Christian thing to do. It's not a good Christian thing to do. It's life. It's meant to be your very life. That's what it is. It's not about nice suggestions and polite behavior and all the rest of that stuff. That's the religion of Christianity, and it's to be distinguished from the reality of redemption and what we have in Christ. And these are the powerful things of the gospel. They must manifest in us, because it's all very well to say we're kings and queens in God. Well, kings and queens have power. They have power in them. Now, you put a demand on yourself for your life to live in the power of God. Say, I demand power in my life. I will not live as a victim. I will not live as a victim. I will not be under anything. I will live as a powerful person in God. I demand power in my life. Because that's the gospel that we have. That's why he went to the cross. He went to the cross that we would receive his power. He became powerless that we would have power. Acts 1 verse 8 says, you should receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power to be what? Power to be witnesses. Power to have the authority to go up and witness, to walk down that train, to that train station at midnight, to walk up to those boys and to say to them, your mother is praying for you. You play the key. That's power. Saying to that lady, your big toe, that's power. Going to the hospital, power. There must be power in the church of Jesus Christ. And so I said to another one of those five young men, the one on the end, I said to him, now you. I said, you missed a big tough guy here, said, with your friends. But I said, but I can see you crying yourself to sleep at night. I tell you, those boys, they went from being, you know, smashing the bottle against the wall to stick me with a bottle. They went from that to being like, just looking like this. like little boys. And the love that I had for them, tremendous love for them. One just grabbed, by the end, I was with them, I had my arms around them. I mean, it's impossible in the natural, you can't, it's impossible. And the love I had for them. I was just trying to be a tough guy, a little baby, come here, you baby. You know, he's just trying to be live his life in a tough guy, nonsense. I had my arms around them, and I loved them, and led them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All for his glory. And these testimonies are going on, as you say, all the time. All the time. This week we had a lovely opportunity. Micah, in fact, said to me she wanted to share a testimony. Micah, share the testimony better this week. In fact, there's a couple of testimonies from this week. All the time testimonies.
We should share this testimony. It's about a gentleman who's been fixing up our house. Most of you know we've moved last August into a new house, and this house needed total renovation, and we needed a lot of help. And I think it was last September, October, Steve prayed to find the right people, and he was looking on the internet to see anyone local who could help us. And he found this gentleman, Phil, who's been absolutely amazing.
Said, Lord, I said, I don't want to just get anyone to come round, because you get funny people that come round, they don't do a good job, they're just not. I said, I just want the right people, Lord. Would you just show me who the right people are to just work? I didn't want just anyone. I prefer not to have it done. I wanted the right people. You see, that's power. You put a demand. It's living like a king. I put a demand on things. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. We stay. Never needs to happen. But if it does happen, it'll happen on my terms. You see? It's my terms. I choose the terms of my life. I shape my life according to the scripture. Sorry, there's another sermon there. Sorry, just carry on.
So anyway, Phil's been brilliant. He's been such a blessing. He can help us with so many things. He does whatever we ask him.
Sorry, I should just say, what happened was the Lord said, as I was flicking through then, the Lord said, he's the one. So you see, if you put a demand on God, God will tell you. And the Lord told me, he's the right one. Phone him. Mm. I said, okay.
So Phil's been helping us with our house for many months now. And so he came last week just to do a day's work. And when he came in, his back was in absolute pain. He has had a lot of back problems. But he came in that morning, he was in absolute pain. He came and sat down. And Steve and I started sharing testimonies about healings that have been taking place in the church and how we've been on the front of the newspaper because of the healings. And one of the things Steve mentioned was about praying for someone in their leg growing out. Because a lot of back problems have to do with uneven legs, when one leg's longer than the other. And from the beginning, I should say, Phil, we've made it clear to Phil that we're Christians and we believe in God. And Phil's made it clear that he's not a Christian and he doesn't believe in God. But we were telling him these stories, and he does listen. He always listens. And there's quite often I've heard Steve talk about God with him. And he will listen and he will converse about it. And it's been quite a positive experience. So he came in this morning with bad back, shared all these testimonies, and then Steve said, well, can I pray for you? And he said, yes. So Steve had him sit down in the dining room and he pulled up his legs, and you could see one of his legs was it about that much?
Yeah, well,
maybe?
He said
that his one leg.
The doctor had told him that one leg was shorter than the other.
Yeah, so he said, oh, that's been my problem. And Steve said, can I pray for you? And so Steve had him sit down, and you could see the difference in his foot length. And so anyway, Steve ministered in the name of Jesus that that leg would grow out. And I saw it grow out very quickly. It just went like zoom, like this. I saw it. Macy filmed it, but unfortunately, you can't see it as clear in the film. You have to be there watching. It was amazing. And afterwards, he said to Phil, you know, did you feel anything? And he said, yeah. He said he felt his leg grow. He felt it stretch out. And that was it then. We went on with the day. But I think with Phil, it'll be an ongoing conversation. But just that he was open to the prayer. And we prayed in his leg grow. And I know he thinks about things, because every once in a while he'll ask us questions as well. But just that was just brilliant. The fact that he's not a Christian, we prayed and God healed his leg and caused it to grow out.
It's just the power of God for everyday miracles miracles just every day, just wonderful, beautiful things of God happening all the time. And this is the thing, okay? This isn't the emphasis of our lives. This is just part. The emphasis is just yielding to Jesus, living with Jesus, living for Jesus. And as a consequence to that, these things happen. We're not making an emphasis of the supernatural over and above following Jesus. Following Jesus demands the supernatural be there, if you understand that distinction. Let's go back to the scriptures here quickly as we are shortly coming to an end. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. The one who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And then, of course, it goes on to speak of some beautiful things which aren't necessarily about the gifts, but talks then really about the life that is subsequent to those gifts. So in other words, when those gifts are in operation, your life will follow the following pattern. So I will read on. Verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble." Many times people set their minds on high things. And they're worried about the things of, you know, this world and what's going on with the world and globalization and the globalists and all of that stuff. It's setting their mind on high things. Instead of that, just work with the humble. Just be in your local church, helping in the local church, being humble, being involved with those humble day-to-day things in the local church. That's where we should set ourselves. Now, if we're afforded a broader opportunity, fine, we can take that. But we're not setting our minds on that. We're setting our minds on the lowly, on the humble things, on being humble ourselves. That's the way for this beautiful gospel to work. I mean, as the Lord increases, great, tremendous. We can have a worldwide ministry. And we are impacting many countries, praise God, by His grace. Thank you, Father. We worship you. But associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. You know, let me just stop. Actually, do not be wise in your own opinion. Let me demonstrate with, again, myself. We all have our weaknesses. It's good for us to be aware of our potential weaknesses. If we're aware of our potential weaknesses, it's not that we're being negative, it's that we're being wise. And if there's a frailty in an area, now I happen to have a frailty in this area, I'm a little bit of a clever dick. So I do like to think I'm right a lot of the time. It's a problem that men especially tend to have. And I'm aware of this. This is an issue sometimes. So I like to think I'm right. And, you know, I need to watch that. And this is why I'm so happy to have my beautiful wife. She helps me, so keeps me in check. But it's good to be aware of your potential weak areas, isn't it? If you're prone to something, if you're prone to think, well, just check, or hold on a sec, you can check yourself then. And what I find is if you check yourself and check yourself with the Lord's help, the Lord then will put you right. The Lord will say, well, I see, yes, you don't go down that road. You're wrong there. Yes, this is okay. You can go down this road. You see, but the Lord helps us. So be aware as we read through these things, allow these things to shape you. Be shaped by the Word. Allow the Word to come. Say, well, what does this mean for me? Let me allow this to press in and shape my life and mold me. Praise God. My friends, my precious brothers and sisters, I want to read on, but I have this sense that I want to now move, as we come to the end of the service, into a time where, and I wasn't expecting to do this, but I want Harry and Maureen to have an opportunity while they're with us today, just to give words of, as the Lord leads to people. So I want us to have that opportunity. I would like them just to play some music just in the background, some nice worshipful music, the Maranatha music or something like along those lines. And then I'm going to bring the service to a close so we can excuse people. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite people to remain so that they can come up to the front, and if you have a word for anyone or just to pray, I want to facilitate that to happen. Does that